Hey friends, welcome to The Perfectionist Guide to Mothering. I'm your host, Andrea Fortenberry. This is a podcast about finding freedom from perfectionism to show up for the life God has for you. Mom life is messy, unpredictable, and just plain hard sometimes, but it's also amazing. I believe God uses it all to grow us into the women He wants us to be. We can't do motherhood on our own. We need God's help. We need wisdom from other moms. We need the encouragement of community. I hope you'll find all of that and more as you listen in. Welcome to episode 94 of The Perfectionist Guide to Mothering. Today I'm chatting with Kendra Roll and Julie Fisk. Kendra and Julie are Central Minnesota authors, and collectively they are mom to 7 kids between the ages of 10 and 32. They believe in the immense power of authentic community and of intentionally living one's faith out loud through kindness and friendship. They have published several books, including their newest, The 1 Year Daily Acts of Gratitude. I had the privilege of meeting Kendra and Julie in person last year for a writer's conference we attended, and they are delightful. I think you are really going to enjoy this episode. We're going to dive in and talk about gratitude and living a life of thankfulness. And I think very often we focus on that toward the holiday season, but we're going to talk about the importance of keeping that at the front of our mind as we live our daily lives as women and moms. Welcome to the podcast, Kendra and Julie. I am thrilled to have you guys here today.
Thank you so much for having us. We're excited to be here.
I love it. We met back in May of last year at our Books and Such retreat. So that was super fun. And it was fun to hear you getting excited about your latest book, which we're going to talk about, 1 Year Daily Acts of Gratitude. And so it's out into the world and it's been in my hands and I've been reading it and just love it. I wanted to share it with listeners and hear you just give us some practical encouragement and tips on how we can really incorporate gratitude into our daily lives. I want of those behind the scenes people. So I would love to know what prompted you along with Kristen to write this book.
Well, this is Julie. We often write the books that we wish we had or the books that we need ourselves. And so gratitude's been something that's been on our heart for a couple of years now, and cultivating a intentional attitude towards gratefulness and thankfulness just in our daily lives. So it's been on our heart for several years. We're really happy now that it's like out into the world and that we're able to share it with everybody else.
Yeah. Our first book was on daily acts of kindness. And so we kind of say that this is kindness 2.0, doing gratitude. And for us, like Julie said, we write the books we need. And it's also, you know, something we're practicing within our own lives and within our family life as well. And so we kind of write out of that experience of wanting to be able to practice it more, even in our own lives.
Yeah. I think it's very common for us to talk about gratitude and we're focused on gratitude in November when it's Thanksgiving, right? Like that's the whole month where we are really focused on it. But I think it's really important that we think about it, not just in November, but other times of year. So would you give us some creative, practical ways that you are incorporating gratitude and thankfulness in your life year round that we can incorporate too?
Well, I think, you know, Thanksgiving can be a great place to start, but like you said, that's certainly not the ending point. And I think it's something we want to carry on with us throughout the year. So we do a lot of things, even within our home, like we'll do like a challenge where thank one of your siblings. We'll say to our kids for something that they've done for you in the last week. We try to do different things. Like there was one summer we were really having a hard time in our home with our kids being kind to each other. And so I put up a huge chart in our dining room, and at dinner time every day, they had to write down something that they were grateful for, either that a sibling had done for them or a family member or just something in life. And that kind of helped to shift our perspective a little bit and just the attitudes that were happening in our home. One thing my kids love to do any time of year is we will weekly try to think of someone who doesn't get thanked a lot in their life or for their job that they do, and to be able to either send them a thank you or leave them a little gift or do something like that. So that's been kind of a weekly challenge that we've done in our home to try to create some habits of gratitude throughout the year and not just at Thanksgiving.
I love that. Yeah. Julie, any thoughts?
Yeah, a couple of things that we've done. We've talked about gratitude in the context of our five senses, just to expand like what we can be thankful for. So what has something that's tasted good? What is something that you've heard that's beautiful? What's something that feels lovely? You know, sight, just trying to get us out of like kind of the same old things that we default to. And then my son, well, I had heard Susie Larson. I love Susie Larson. And she spoke and she was talking about Randy Alcorn's book, Heaven. And she was talking about there being little tastes of heaven on earth. So we get these little experiences of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And I had explained that to my son, who was probably about 10 at the time. And so he started it in our house, but he would taste something just amazing. And he would be like, oh, Mom, this is a little taste of heaven.
Aww.
And it's such a lovely shortcut for like expressing gratitude and like giving glory to God. And so we've adopted that phrase. And so even I do. So like when I'm just going about my day to day and I run across something lovely, I'll be like, that is a little taste of heaven. So just a couple of like kind of things to piggyback off of Kendra.
Yeah, I love that. I think sometimes as busy moms, we're just like going and we don't stop to enjoy the taste of our food or sit and enjoy our cup of coffee because we're just running around and taking it on the go. So I love the reminder that we can use all of our senses. And I think that even if it's just a little pause can help us slow down and savor some sweet things in our lives.
Absolutely. Love that.
I thought of two little tips that I wanted to throw into things that we do in our family. One is, Kendra, as you were talking about siblings and, you know, when there's attitudes going on. So a couple of years ago, my kids were just fighting and I just separated them. And I said, I want you to sit down and write each other a letter. And I want you to apologize for whatever happened with this fight. I want you to tell your sibling what you appreciate about him or her. And then I want you to give a suggestion of how you could move forward in a better way. I think that was a really great exercise for them. So that's one little thing to just remember, like, yes, we fight sometimes, but here's what I'm grateful for about you. So that was one little thing. And then another thing, this was a tip from another mom that I got years ago, but that very often, you know, we're trying to remind each other of things as we're going throughout our day. Can you please pick up your socks? Can you please do this? If we're talking to our spouse, can you please pick up the kids? And sometimes in the midst of the busyness, we're quick to be like, I know already, or you told me. Mm-hmm. And it kind of just creates this attitude of annoyance. So mm-hmm. in our house, instead of saying, I know, or you told me, we say, thank you for the reminder. Mm. And that really has helped to just infuse a little gratitude. It diffuses attitude mm-hmm. because it's hard to really give someone a negative attitude when you're thanking them for something. So we say, thank you for the reminder. So just little things. And I love in the book, it's just little things that we can do to really change our hearts a little bit. So what are some of the benefits of gratitude that you have seen as you incorporate these practical tips, and just overall, what do you guys think are benefits of gratitude?
Contentment would be a big one. When you recognize the good things, you notice like what you call out. And when you're calling out good things every day, even when it's the little, like the sip of coffee that's still warm because you microwaved it three times and you take another sip and you're like, oh, it's warm again. This is wonderful. You just realize like the things that are going well in your life. And mm-hmm. oftentimes our lives, you know, there's something that's messy at the same time that there's things that are good. And so just really not denying the messy, not denying the hard, but where we're putting our energy and our focus is what we're going to see more. And so that has helped me specifically with peace and contentment and joy.
Mm-hmm. You know, it would be no surprise to anyone if you Google, like, what are the benefits of gratitude? It's like, there's all these health benefits. I was just reading last night, it helps you sleep better. Like, if you write down something you're thankful for right before you go to bed, like, people, they've done a study and people actually sleep better at night. And I was like, wow, that is a good thing to know. But so many benefits. But one thing I was thinking this morning is, when I have a heart of gratitude, I live with my hands open to the world and to life and to the people around me and even to the things that I own. And I think, you know, even sometimes we'll see, you see Christians who are just like kind of unhappy and just sort of look like they're holding on to everything so tightly, or maybe they live in fear a lot. And I think gratitude helps open us up to, like, letting God use us and to holding our hands kind of loosely open, like, in gratitude to what it is that we have, but also that God may ask us to share and to be open to being generous with the people around us. And so I want that for me, but I want that for my kids too. And so I think when they see us with a grateful heart, that is something that they will hopefully grow into as well.
So much with our kids, they catch, right? Versus us teaching them. And I think all of these benefits that you are mentioning, the contentment, the peace, the flexibility and openness, being open, like, those are such great things that we can model, probably not perfectly, right? It's not right. possible because, right. because we have our moments, but I just think it's really neat to think about that for the long term and think how can we do little things to incorporate gratitude so that our kids can do that as well. So I love that. As you were writing the book, or again, since the book has come out, is there something that you have been able to be thankful for that maybe surprised you, like a hard something or just a story that you have that you found gratitude, even though it might, your initial response might not be that?
So Julie and I both have a little bit older kids now. Her kids are teens and two of mine are teens. And one thing that when I saw this question, I was thinking about how when my kids were younger and they were involved in activities, driving them to things just felt like such a chore. And sometimes it was hard and I wasn't very grateful to do it, especially in winter in Minnesota. But as they've gotten older and they've continued those skills and they've continued to develop, I find a couple of things. First of all, I'm really thankful at this point, because I know it's going to be ending soon, to be driving them anywhere and to have that time with them to connect. But also, I feel so grateful now seeing them kind of develop these passions and interests that they have that aren't things that maybe I have a skill at or am good at. And I just appreciate so much in a way that I don't think I recognized or would have thought about when they were little and they're just kind of starting out, how much I have appreciated all of these hours in the car and to know that it's going to end pretty soon, actually, because our daughters will be getting their license this spring. So I think that's one thing for me over time that has really, I've become more and more grateful for.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I have a 15-year-old, and so she will be getting her license in the fall. Yeah. And so my husband and I have talked, we're like in this window, like it's a finite window of when that's going to change. And so on the one hand, when I'm not excited to, you know, get up early and drive her somewhere or at night, I'm remembering like, this is it. Like it's going to change very, very soon. So I'm right there with you.
So I'm going to share a story of my cousin. Their family lost a job kind of suddenly. And so at first it was like a scramble, right? Like you're just trying to figure things out. But when her husband was able to stay home, there was a situation going on with one of their kiddos. And it was just this perfect alignment of the situation and all of a sudden this extra time. And the husband was then able to step into resolving the situation, being present in the situation, like working with their child through the situation. And so she has said to me on a number of occasions, like, that was, sorry, I don't mean to cry, But that had been an unexpected blessing out of something really hard and something that they weren't expecting either thing, right? Like they weren't expecting the loss of the job, but then they were also not expecting the situation. And so, like, in retrospect, they're incredibly grateful for that timing. And I thought, okay, like, we can find silver linings even in hard things. And we ought to probably be looking for them. Not that we discount the hard thing. I don't want to ever do that, but we can certainly look for silver linings in the middle of it.
Right. I love that. And I think when we are in it, it might be really hard, but then later when time has passed, we can look back and see that God was working, that God is trustworthy, and that he had a plan. And so I love that.
I call that the fingerprints of God. Mm-hmm. Like when you can look backwards and say, oh, I saw his hands all over that situation when I couldn't see it quite as clearly in that moment.
Right. Mm-hmm. Love that. Well, that leads us into my next question for you. Assuming that of all of my listeners, that someone right now is going through a hard season, because we all go through hard seasons. And so maybe she's feeling like there's not a lot to be thankful for right now. So what encouragement would you have for her? Mm-hmm.
I would start by saying it's okay to be honest about where you're at. I think sometimes we think we have to, in order to feel grateful, I've got to kind of ignore or, you know, dismiss what's going on. And I think the first thing is actually to look at it head on and to just acknowledge what is or what isn't and what you would hope would be different. And to really allow yourself to experience any of those emotions that go along with it and not to ignore or to hide from it. And then I often find, even in my own life, that out of that space, then I can find gratitude even for small things, you know, even just the sense that maybe God is with me in that place or that hard moment, or, you know, maybe it's a friend who comes alongside of you, or I mean, it can be just the smallest things that we end up feeling grateful for. But I think it's easier to do when we allow ourselves to acknowledge and kind of see what is and not just move past that too quickly.
Mm-hmm. I think it's okay to grieve lost expectations. Mm-hmm. I would say also, when I walk into hard situations, I have started asking God to use it for his glory. Mm-hmm. So, gosh, I'm just a little teary-eyed today, and I don't know why. It's because these things are hard, and they're real, right? Mm-hmm. So you think of your own hard thing. Right. But I'll walk into chaotic, hard, uncertain situations and just affirmatively praying that it not be wasted. So whatever it is, that it ultimately, in some way, God uses it to plant a seed, to touch somebody else, to refine my faith in an important way, to not let it go to waste. I find that people come back to God or grow close to God in the hard places. And so it's a really interesting place to intersect God. And I never want those things wasted. Mm-hmm. But then also I tell God about it too. He can handle my anger and he can handle my disappointment. And so never stop talking to God. Like, even when you're mad, that's what I would say. Even when you're mad, tell him you're mad and explain mm-hmm. that you're mad, but don't stop talking to him. Mm-hmm. He can handle our ugliest version of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And I think another thing that I'll just add is to remember that hard seasons are seasons, and that's a new season is coming. We just need to do exactly what you ladies said, press into him, persevere, pray, and be grateful for even just the little things. So thank you so much for sharing all of that. And at the end of every episode, friends, I like to ask some fun questions. So I'm excited to hear your answers. So first, what are you reading, watching, or listening to these days?
So Kyle and I, my husband, we have been watching, I don't know if you've heard of N.T. Wright. He's a theologian. Mm-hmm. He's an older gentleman, and he's put out he writes a lot of books and things, but he also does a lot of videos. And so we've been watching a series called Thinking Through Salvation, which is on YouTube. It's completely free. And the episodes are only like 8 minutes long. And so we find that we'll watch one in the morning and then kind of discuss it even just for a few minutes. And so that's been something that's been really good for us. It's kind of like devotionals. You know, for people, when you find yourself in a busy season and you don't have tons of time to really sit and study, it's nice to have something that's like just a little snippet, still deep, you know, still gives you something to think about, but that, you know, I don't have an hour to sit and watch maybe a message or something. And so for anybody else who's maybe in that season, that might be a good option.
Love that. This is why I asked this question.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go very non-spiritual on this.
That's okay.
We are in the dead of winter in Minnesota in January. And so this is my least favorite month of all the months. And so I need reminders of life. And that means I'm listening to a gardening podcast called You Bet Your Garden. It's old. It's all archived. This guy is like... I don't know, the super old guy, but he's super smart. And it's kind of like a Midwestern, kind of northern gardener. So for those of you down south, you might want to skip it. But he's charming and delightful to listen to. So I listen to that. But then I have been reading cookbooks and I have been making sourdough bread. Kendra's husband, Kyle, actually gave me some starter. And so I have been trying to just do like all of these like homey, kind of gardeny things because it just is what keeps me feeling good in January. So that's sort of been the focus of my consumption of media.
I love it. So for Christmas, I asked my kids for the sourdough. I forget how you like the bowl that you proof the bread in and all of that. Yeah. So I have that. I've yet to start my starter because I've been out of town. And so I have one more trip. And after that, I'm going to give it a go. So let me know your tips.
I'm not very good at it, but you send us a text. I will tell you all the things that my friend Samantha has told me. And then I'll just forward you. All
perfect. Perfect. I appreciate that. Love it. Next question, what is a favorite product, service, or practice that makes your life easier?
So this is not spiritual either at all, but I exercise at home every day. I know some people can make it to a gym. I cannot. It's just too hard for me. So there is an online service that I subscribe to that makes my life. I just feel like every day I'm grateful for this because it's about 20 minutes to a half an hour. And so I can do something every day, but I can do it in my home and I can do it when I need to. And, you know, so that's a service that definitely makes my life a whole lot easier.
Awesome.
So a decade ago, my husband found a buttermilk pancake recipe out of Cooks Illustrated. Mm-hmm. And he started making it on Saturday mornings. And our kids so loved this recipe that now we triple batch it on a Sunday. Our kids can make it. So it's like a family endeavor. We pull up the grill, the flat top grill, and we make pancakes on this grill. But then we have pancakes every morning for breakfast and they can pull three out, nuke them quick. And it's a filling, quick, you know, homemade breakfast. Yeah. So then we're not in a scramble and it's just consistent. So we're not like, what do you want? What do you want? Everybody just knows pancakes and they all love it. So if you can get your husband to do it, even better.
100%. I love that. Lately, I've just been seeing and hearing different things about like batch cooking like that. And like, that's so smart. That's so smart. I'll remember the pancake idea. Because I feel like breakfast, especially, it's just sometimes hard of like, what are we going to eat? What's in the fridge? Mm-hmm. So I love that idea. That's great. Awesome. Next question, what is your best soul or self-care tip for moms?
Kind of going off of my last answer, for me, exercising every day. And so I would say do something for your physical health, for your mental health, for your spiritual health. As moms, I think that's really important. And sometimes we put ourselves last or we feel guilty doing it. And I'm not going to feel guilty. I think that that's important for us to have that time and space. And so, you know, some days sure are going to be easier than others, but allow yourself even just a few moments, that time to do something that fills your cup and to not feel guilty about it. It's okay.
So good.
And I was going to say, be nicer to yourself. Mm-hmm. Every woman I know is pretty mean to herself. And so when you're berating yourself, just the litmus test I use for myself is, would I ever say that to Kendra? Mm-hmm. Would I ever say that to Kate? Like, would I ever say that to my closest friends? Because why would I say that to myself if I would never say that to a good friend of mine? And then the other thing, especially, I mean, we've been parenting for a while, so we've been through several seasons of parenting, but there's a seasonality to it. And some seasons are really hard and you don't have a lot of time. And so other dreams just have to wait a little bit. And so I just would say, that's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay. There, you cannot do it all at once. I have yet to meet a woman who can do that. And so mm-hmm. be gentle with yourself about that too. There is a lot of time, and this is it, and there is seasonality to parenting.
That's such great advice, Julie, because I think when we hop on Instagram or TikTok or wherever, like, it looks like all the other moms are living their best life, achieving their dreams and making, you know, all the homemade things, and their house right. is spotless. And we're just like, oh, I feel like a failure. I feel like I'm behind. I know that I have felt that way in other seasons, like I'm behind, but that's not the timing that the Lord had for me. And so again, going back to the gratitude and the contentment of being grateful for where we are and trusting that He knows our dreams and He knows when we can handle them. So mm-hmm. love that. Next question, what is God teaching you in this season?
I think for me, one of the things He's teaching me is the importance of relationship and being willing to lean on other people and to not think that you have to do everything by yourself or to be super independent of other people or needing their help or assistance. And so I have found myself feeling very grateful for the people that are around us and just noticing and becoming more aware of the support that they give to me and to my kids or to my husband. I think some of us, you know, grew up in a kind of a culture that said, like, be as independent as possible. And although there's maybe some good truths in that, I think some of us maybe took that too far where we didn't rely on other people. And God made us to be in community. I mean, that's how He's designed our lives to be. And so I think for me, He's really been teaching me that a lot. And it's a good lesson. One I wish I would have learned maybe a little bit younger. But yeah, that's what He's teaching me right now.
Awesome. What about you, Julie?
I am naturally a person who loves to plan. So I love to have things sort of settled and worked out ahead of time. And, you know, this is what's going to happen. This and this and this and this. And I'm learning in this season that God has to hold my tomorrows. Mm-hmm. And when I allow Him, like when I have the faith and the hope and the trust in Him to hold my tomorrows, actually, there's a bunch of verses talking about when you do that, joy and peace are found in today. And I'm surprised finding that to be true. I know that's a shocker, but mm-hmm. just embracing that too, right? Like, I don't have to just constantly be in the tomorrow stage. And what freedom there is to find peace, but then also look for joy, you know, and really embrace what that looks like. Small joy, big joy, celebrating, you know, all the little things, all the big things. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
Love it.
I wish I had figured that out earlier.
Well, I think that both of the things that you mentioned are just super spot on for listeners, because we all struggle with perfectionism. And so again, mm-hmm. I think in that mindset, sometimes we think we have to do it all on our own, or, you know, speaking, Julie, into what you said, we struggle with that as well, of being like, here's my plans, here's what I want my day to look like. And then when someone, you know, has a blowout diaper or throwing a temper tantrum, or yes. you're running late, like, I know those things would just set me off. Or with older kids, like, you know, with their given attitude or whatever that looks like in the different seasons. And so it can be really frustrating sometimes to focus on how our plans didn't come to fruition, but maybe those weren't God's plans. And so I love that. And so I've tried to learn to make plans, but hold them loosely. And then, and when they don't go as I expected, just regroup and move forward from there.
Yeah. So. Yeah, absolutely.
So, spot on. Well, it has been a pleasure to have you both on the podcast and to get to visit with you. So last question, where can listeners find you online and find your resources?
So you can find us at The Ruth Experience. We have a website, theruthexperience.com. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest. We love to share ideas and practical tips online. So we try to be a place of encouragement. So you can find us there. And then you can find our books wherever they're sold, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, your local bookstore, wherever books are sold. So. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Well, I will link all the places so listeners can find you easily and find the books. And just thank you so much for your time. It's been fun to hang out with you this morning.
Thank you so much for having us. Mm-hmm.
As we go, I want to remind you that you're doing an amazing job as a mom. No, you're not perfect. None of us are. There's no such thing. But you're showing up. You're learning from your mistakes, and you've got God on your side. He fills in the gaps of our imperfections, and we can trust Him. Keep going, my friends. You are doing good and meaningful work. I'll see you next time.